Pastor Janine Blount is the first guest in our Charisma News Women in Ministry podcast series. She's the mom of 6 kids and also a wife to her husband who's often traveling. How does she juggle all of that while faithfully pastoring a church? Stay tuned to this insightful episode.
Passover isn't just an ancient biblical tradition. It is a time for every believer to connect to their spiritual inheritance and experience released revelation and blessings. Unlock the inheritance and freedom of Jesus' blood, as well as the significant symbolism of Passover like never before. The return of the King is near. Walk in the fullness of your salvation during these last days. Download Kurt Landry Ministries' free ebook, The Ultimate Guide to Passover, how understanding this biblical feast unlocks blessings and releases revelation for every believer. Go to clmmin.com, that's clmmin.com/Passover Guide to claim your free ebook today.
Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm your host, Kendra Semin, and I'm excited to introduce you to Janine Blount, co-senior pastor of Crestwood Vineyard Church in Oklahoma City. Janine, we're so excited to have you on today's show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Why don't you start by telling our listeners a little about yourself, and then we'll dive in deeper.
Thank you. I am a mom of 6 kids and a wife who said yes to Jesus in becoming a pastor. My husband and I co-pastor Crestwood Vineyard Church in Oklahoma City. We've been a part of the Vineyard since when we were dating in our early 20s and have grown to love this family of churches that we call home. And about 6 years ago, we were a part of a team that planted this particular church, Crestwood Vineyard Church. And then a little over 2 years ago, Brian and I became the senior pastors.
That's awesome. I'm actually the oldest of 6 kids, so I know a little bit of what that's like.
Yeah,
the youngest is 13. We're all like 2 years apart, so it's a fun group. So big families, there's always something going on. It's never boring.
Never boring at all.
So the crux of this series really is to discuss kind of what it looks like to be a female pastor in a society where that's still a little bit controversial in some circles. Yeah. So it's the big words are complementarianism versus egalitarianism. And a lot of our listeners are more on the egalitarianism side, which means that, you know, everyone is equal, can have equal roles. And then the complementarianism side of it is, well, we're equal, but we have different roles. And so therefore, not all women shouldn't necessarily be pastors. And I kind of grew up being taught, oh, like as a woman, Kendra, you shouldn't pray in front of men or you shouldn't lead worship in front of men. And that was always confusing to me because I know Jesus says there is no male or female. And so, you know, there's definitely cases on both sides. But what would you say to people who think that the Bible says women shouldn't be pastors?
Yeah. You know, when that comes up, my first question is always, why do you think that? You know, do you think that because that's the church tradition you grew up in? Or do you think that because that's something that you've actually studied and you've really looked at it? I find most people who believe that way, that's the church tradition they've grown up in. And that's just the way it's always been. And you know, the way the scriptures have been interpreted to them from the time they were very young, possibly, has always been one particular way. And so sometimes when we've always heard things and our experiences have only been and therefore justified one way of thinking, we don't even realize, like, oh, there's another way to, with biblical integrity, be able to look at the scriptures and come to a different conclusion. And so that's my question, you know, why is it, and have you taken the time to explore this? If they haven't and they're open to, I have a list of resources that I recommend to people. Sometimes people, you know, explore this, study it, go to the scriptures, go to the commentaries, the extensive research that has been done on this topic, and they come to complementary conclusions, and that's okay with me. I would rather someone with a conviction of like, hey, I've gone to the scriptures and this is really where I land. I'd rather them do that than to not have studied it, you know? And so I realize, you know, like you said, it is a cultural sticking point for some, that's, you know, it's a topic, and it wouldn't be a topic if there wasn't some controversy in the sense of differing agreements. And I'm okay saying, I trust the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. And if that means you don't feel right being a part of our church because I'm a female leading, then I know that God is doing some really great things in some amazing churches in our city that are complementarian. And so I just encourage people to study, and I offer resources, and then I just continue doing what I'm called to do. Mm-hmm. I think as a female leader, that we do have to spend some amount of time educating people, resourcing people as far as the role of women, but that can't become my full-time job because then I'm no longer leading the church, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just go back to leading. And for some people, I've found, you know, they came into our church really skeptical about this woman leader, you know, but like the proof's in the pudding, you know? And I've had some people who started visiting our church. They're like, you know, I really sense God's spirit there, right? But I was really kind of confused. Well, why is God's spirit there if there's a female leading? This doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. In the work of studying and, you know, kind of just, and just trusting that, you know, God can lead his people better than I can. And if that means that they're in a different church, then that's okay with me too. But if, as long as they're coming to me and asking the questions, I'm going to do what I can to resource them and help them on that journey.
Yeah. Like you said, there are so many different interpretations of scripture and of topical issues like this. So like you said, it's very important to look at both sides, to do the research. And you mentioned that some people who came to your church were kind of skeptical. Have you mm-hmm. experienced any like negative pushback or just pushback in general from people in your audience? And you kind of already addressed that a little bit, but can you go into that a little bit more about how you deal with that?
Sure. Yeah. You know, when we started our church 6 years ago, our founding pastor was my mentor, my husband's mentor, Charles Bellow. And so he was the lead pastor, and we were part of his team. And so from the beginning, he modeled women leading in various capacities, but still he was the senior pastor. Mm-hmm. And so I think there were a handful, I wouldn't say a lot, but there were a handful of people who were comfortable with that. Like, sure, women can preach, women can lead ministries, but it's under this man who's leading the church. Mm-hmm. But then 2 years ago, when we switched to Brian and I co-leading, that in itself didn't really cause problems, because I think people with a complementarian view could still see Brian and I co-leading as like, well, really, Brian's the covering, or however it is that they wanted to say that. What happened, though, is about 6 to 9 months in to Brian and I leading, we started having some conversations with people saying like, oh, we thought we were okay with this until Janine, you were preaching so much. Mm-hmm. And when I started realizing like, no, we are really co-pastoring, like I'm going to be preaching at least 50% of the time, really more, because a lot of my husband's ministry is outside of our church doing equipping throughout the states and in missionary work beyond the United States. And so that leaves me in the pulpit a good portion of the time. And we aren't doing that by default because like, oh, well, Brian's not here, so Janine's filling in. No, we're doing it because we're co-pastoring. And I'm a pastor just as much as Brian is. And I'm leading this church just as much as he is. And so it was really as time went on that we found people thought that they were going to be okay with it. And when they saw it actually playing out, it was confronting, you know, some really deep-seated views of scripture that made them really question. And some of them were able to make that turn with us and stick with us, and some of them didn't, and that was okay. Mm. But it did make for some hard conversation, hard in the sense of like not, we were always very blessing of them and always very encouraging of them. You need to do what you sense the Holy Spirit leading you to do. You need to do what the conviction of the Lord is in your life. We would never, you know, go against that unless it was very clearly, you know, anti-biblical. But just being able to go home and cry and say that was really sad that we lost, you know, those people and over this, you know, and how can we do it better next time? Because we do have a very strong conviction that God's called men and women to lead together, you know, and sometimes that looks like a man being a leader of a church. Sometimes it looks like a woman being a leader of a church. Sometimes it looks like a man and a woman leading together. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good answer. I think because a lot of females, they're looking to become pastors or become leaders, and they're confused by this division and, you know, who should I follow? What should I listen to? So coming from you, what are some key lessons you've learned over the years as a leader in ministry that you can give to aspiring leaders?
Well, I think the biggest key lessons that I've learned are independent of the fact that I'm a woman. It's just because I'm a follower of Jesus, trying to figure out this whole saying yes to Jesus thing. And for me, it looks like pastoring. For other people, for me, it looks like pastoring in this season of my life. You know, for many years of my life, it saying yes to Jesus looked completely different as far as like how I'm spending my time vocationally and with my family and whatnot. But some key lessons I've learned is that saying yes to God is messy, you know, and that goes to whether you're pastoring or being a mom at home with a ton of little kids, and saying God to yes is messy. It costs us something. It's completely worth it, and I wouldn't change anything. But you know, it costs us. It costs our family when we say yes to Jesus. And again, it's completely worth it. But I do think, especially going into ministry vocationally, you know, it loses its shine and glimmer really quick, you know, when you see the way it's affecting your children, when you see the way it can't affect your marriage, toll it takes on your own emotions and mental strength and all that kind of stuff. And so because saying yes to God is messy, another key thing I've learned is you've got to have healthy rhythms in your life for longevity. You know, any of us can say yes to God in the short term and blow ourselves out, you know, but to say yes to God, okay, I'm not just going to say yes to this today, but I'm going to say yes to this today in a way that I can still be saying yes to this 30 years from now, however many years from now, creating healthy rhythms for me, you know, solitude, making sure I'm spending time with my family, making sure I'm spending time in the Word of God and prayer that has nothing to do with what I'm preaching next Sunday, you know? So making sure that I'm doing things from day one that set me up to succeed at day 10,000, you know, slowing down to be able to go fast.
Yeah, I really like that you mentioned the, you know, ministry aspect of it and making sure that you're reading scripture that's different from what you're preparing for on Sunday, because I've never been a pastor or a leader in a church, never taught, but I know from hearing people that it's super easy to intermingle those things and think, oh yeah, I already did my quiet time because I already read all this scripture for what I'm teaching on Sunday. But then it's like you can get so consumed by ministry that almost becomes an idol and you lose sight of your personal relationship and connection with God. And it's so incredibly important. Like, I notice a huge difference in preachers that I listen to who say that they're hearing from God. Like, I know it's already a more impactful sermon and impactful experience for the hearers, the audience who are like, wow, like God is actually speaking to you, and that inspires them and helps you ensure that you're kind of still staying in alignment with God's will. And I like that you mentioned the balance aspect of it, because I did a podcast series before this one on mental health, and I just know that emotions and burning out and all of that is a real thing, and it seems to be becoming more of an issue in society today. So thank you for sharing that. And do you want to go into a little bit what you mean by that? Like, what does, you know, self-care look like for you so that you don't burn out and you do have good balance?
I'd be happy to, because, I mean, this is something that I really feel is key for anyone. I don't want to make this a pastor statement. You know, this is key for anyone's health. However, pastors, like as you said, it's really easy for your spiritual disciplines to just slip into ministry rather than it being for yourself. So it is super key for pastors. But for me, and let me back up and say too, I mean, everyone's got your unique challenges in life. And so this is a conversation that I have with God regularly, like, you know, because I do have six kids. I've got a husband who travels quite a bit, you know, so even like, okay, well, my husband's going to be gone for the next month in South Africa. So how am I adjusting my rhythms this month? That's different than last month. So it's an ongoing conversation that I have with Jesus, about what are the healthy rhythms that, for me, my biggest one is solitude. I have to plan and create solitude in my life. You know, it doesn't come naturally to my settings as far as like when I'm in the church, I'm around people. When I'm at home, I'm around people. So I have to create and plan solitude. And what I mean by solitude is not isolation. Mm-hmm. Solitude is me with God alone. And it's not even doing something or accomplishing something. The purpose is to be alone with God. I don't have to hear from him. I don't have to pray. The goal is to just simply be with him. Sometimes that I'm with him with my Bible. Sometimes I'm with him while I'm doing something. But creating time where I know I'm going to have just utterance. It's almost like, you know, just like I have date time with my husband, or I have, you know, we have one of our sons that has special needs, just like I spend time with him working on school stuff that is different than with my other kids. I also like schedule time with God, like, you know, God, I'm not trying to get something out of this. I'm just going, this is my time with you. And for me, just the way I'm wired, that works really well. I know some people and their personality and their gift mix or whatever, that seems totally crazy. But for me, that's probably the biggest key for me is solitude. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, because it's so hard sometimes, especially in this day and age where it's like, go, 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 being busy is great, where you get so restless, it's so hard to just sit still and enjoy just the presence of God. And that's really the easiest way to hear his voice, too, when you calm everything down and you quiet yourself. So one of the other questions I had was, what's the hardest subject you've taught women on? Because I know, obviously, as a pastor, you've preached through many different topics, but is there any specific subject that was just really difficult for you to either interpret or wrestle with to explain to your readers or to your listeners?
Yeah. You know what? I really love just climbing into topics that are hard, and it's more of like a fun challenge than like, oh, this was really hard. But you know what I found? So there's a lot of topics like that. But I've found what has actually been the most liberating for women is my story. You know, I mean, we all have a story, and I think that goes for, you know, for anyone's story. And you know, I mean, I didn't plan on six children. That our fourth pregnancy was surprise triplets. So like I have part of my story is like, you know, I had a plan for my life, and I thought it was God's plan for my life. You know, I prayerfully, you know, it's like, not like I didn't know God before this. Like I was working on my Master of Divinity and, you know, like I had all of these dreams and thoughts of what life was going to be like prayerfully and in my time with God. But like, he threw this ringer in there of like, here's these surprise triplets, and I love it. And I wouldn't have changed any of it, but it sure did change the course of my life. You know,
yeah.
And then a few years later, you know, realizing one of our sons was in a health crisis and everything had to stop, you know, everything stopped. And we spent months, you know, and, you know, it's been years now of rearranging, reconstructing our life around his unique needs. And so I think a lot of women, you know, what most inspires them and gives them the, you know, just that impetus to just get up and go at it again, do it again, day after day, love Jesus again, say yes to Jesus again, day after day, is as much as I would love to say it's, you know, I'm looking at the bookshelf across from me of, you know, all this wonderful teaching that I've given. I think it's more than anything, it's our stories, and that's something that anybody can give, not just a pastor.
Yeah, that's really good, because no one can deny your testimony, what God has done in your life and how he's giving you strength to sustain you and to keep you going day after day in the mundane, in the, you know, going through the motions, all of that, because that can be really hard sometimes. Like, you have really good moments of life, but then how do you push through the hard moments, the trials and all of that?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think too, just people, people knowing, this I think is important for pastors, like a level of transparency and vulnerability in our leadership, saying like, hey, I don't have it all together. Like, hey, you know, I, you know, as great as summer prep on schedule looked like it was going to be, instead I had a kid that had the flu, you know, and you know, just there's so much that, and this goes to empowering women in our church too, because, you know, I do see culture shifting, you know, thankfully over towards more co-parenting and that burden being shared for, you know, financial provision for our family, along with the child rearing being shared between men and women. But as long as the burden is still primarily on women to do the child rearing and often to bring an income, that's just a and that many women are carrying. And so being able to just have the transparency of saying like, yeah, I'm one of those too. I'm saying yes to Jesus in my career, which happens to be leading you guys as your pastor. And I'm doing that the best of my ability, but I also, you know, I'm also mom. We also have all these other hats. And so being able to model in my vocation, which just happens to be leading this church, of how to balance that as well as I can in itself speak life and hope to women who are trying to figure it out as well, and also trying to figure out what, you know, is God leading me into ministry in some way, and how can that be done? Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So do you think that, especially for young kind of up and coming leaders, that it's really important to find a mentor? Did you ever have one?
Unequivocally, I would say absolutely. If you do nothing else, find a mentor. Mm-hmm. You know, a little while ago, my husband and I, we started in the vineyard. It's been 23, 24 years ago now, with our pastor, Charles Bellow. And we've been with him until today. I just left a meeting 15 minutes ago with him, and he's still a part of our team. Now we're the ones leading the team and he's on the team, as opposed to him leading the team and we were on the team. And so the roles have shifted, but he, you know, he really mentored us for decades. And then transitioning into a pastoring role, we're part of the Association of Vineyard Churches, and with the Vineyard, there's a group called Vineyard Women that particularly specializes in mentoring. And they've got women who have been, you know, pastors for a long time who are coming alongside and mentoring other women. And so I've taken full advantage of those mentoring programs through the Vineyard. I've signed up for repeat ones, you know, just because like I have got to have other women speaking into my life who have more experience, who've done this, and mm-hmm. also being a part of those mentoring groups where it's peer to peer, of, you know, other women who are pastoring, who have been pastoring just as long as I have, or are on, you know, similar place in their journey, and like, hey, how do you guys do small groups? How are you handling your kids ministry? And being able to do that peer to peer mentoring, the Vineyard has just done a really phenomenal job of facilitating ways for that to happen, particularly among women.
Yeah. Yeah. So if any of our listeners are able to or interested in visiting your church, checking out the resources you mentioned, how can they connect with you all online?
Our website is crestwoodvineyard.org, and that's the best way to get a hold of us.
Great. Well, thank you all again for joining us, and stay tuned for another episode in the Woman in Ministry series with your host, Kendra Semin, on the Charisma Podcast Network.